Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me. He's a veteran broadcaster, over 80 years experience in radio.
I'm not that old.
Oh, well, soon to be 80 years of experience.
I'm almost 80 years old, but right. I only started in broadcasting at 13, so let's take 13 years off the 80.
You probably came out of the womb. And furthermore,
right, I had a microphone in my hand, and my mother, I announced my arrival.
Lynn Hull's our fabulous producer. I play a liberal on the radio, and Joe is a conservative. He's an actual conservative. On the news line with us now, Scott McFarlane, a congressional correspondent for CBS News. We've spoken to him a number of times, and we're going to dig into the debt ceiling conversation a little bit. Good morning, Scott. Thank you so much for calling in.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, fellas.
When these guys say that there's progress, that's what Speaker McCarthy said yesterday, what does that mean exactly, if there's progress?
We actually got to split this a little bit more narrowly here. He said it was productive, but then said no when asked if there was progress. So I have no earthly idea what that means.
Okay. It's
a sign that they want to keep talking. That's always a good sign when the negotiations are, you know, ongoing. Parties are still getting together, but they're running perilously short on time. They have just a few days till this deadline, and they have to come up with some grand compromise that gets some huge combination of Republican and Democratic votes at this moment in this Congress on this issue. They're going to have to hit the snooze button somehow and delay this deadline. They may need a short-term stopgap way of extending the debt ceiling to buy themselves more time to talk, because I think it's overly ambitious to think they're going to get this done by June 1st.
Well, they said there's a 72-hour rule in the House that a bill has to be posted 72 hours before it can be voted on, so that certainly does indicate that they're awfully close to the bone here. Any feeling from the rank-and-file members that they're going to put some pressure on these guys to get it done?
No, and I think that's what's missing right now. There has been no meeting of the minds or third way group that is forming and trying to push this ahead. There are a couple efforts by Democrats to find a way around this standoff and this negotiation. You know, some are asking the president to invoke the powers of the 14th Amendment and simply raise the debt ceiling unilaterally on his own. The president has thrown cold water on that idea, though he hasn't totally ruled it out. There's also something called a discharge petition, which is such a Washington, D.C. phrase. But what it is a mechanism through which rank-and-file members of the House can force a vote on a debt ceiling increase without the blessings of the leadership or the speaker. You would need 218 members of the House to sign and authorize that discharge petition. At this point, they have only the Democrats who have signed, which means they don't have 218. That effort would likely take longer than June 1st as well. So all these, you know, alternative plans are post-default plans.
Isn't the whole thing sort of a self-made problem, because the debt ceiling was enacted to force a stop and say, hey, we've hit the wall here. What do we need to do? And yet there never seems to be any discussion about what we can do long term. It's always about how do we raise the debt ceiling now. I mean, this seems kind of foolish to me.
Well, it isn't. It's not sort of a man-made problem, a self-made problem. It's totally a man-made, self-made problem. There are people who think the debt ceiling is arbitrary, an artificial construct that the United States uses, but that many other nations, including, you know, European nations, don't use. European nations with advanced economies. So, there's the argument that this is a self-made problem. It's also a self-made problem injected with steroids, because this is not typically the issue through which you budget or argue for how to raise or cut spending or raise or cut taxes. There's a different time for that. It's called the budget season, the appropriation season, the time when you decide whether to keep the federal government operating or shut it down to cut spending. This is something quite different, and that's always been a sticking point. Democrats and the president in this case saying we don't negotiate over the debt ceiling. It's too dangerous and it's actually not germane. The debt ceiling is about paying past bills, not about future spending. The reality is the White House has had to stand down from the argument that you don't negotiate over the debt ceiling, because clearly they are negotiating over the debt ceiling, and Lord knows what this means the next time the debt ceiling comes due. No matter who's in charge, does the opposing party try to exact concessions? Imagine the roles are reversed, and that it's a Republican president and a Democratic Speaker of the House. Could the Democratic Speaker of the House say, if you want me to raise the debt ceiling and prevent catastrophe, we need to tighten gun control. We need to loosen abortion restrictions. We need to do something big and controversial that Republicans can't sign off on. This sets a dangerous precedent.
Were you able to observe over the past couple months some trigger that made the Republicans suddenly get religion on this topic that, you know, that we have to suddenly, now we're interested in good budget policy and not overspending? Was there something in particular or just the presence of Speaker McCarthy? What led to this being so adamant about this?
Yeah, the anatomy of this is somewhat clear. It was reported that this was part of the concession Kevin McCarthy offered some of his Republican members to secure the speakership on that 15th vote, that marathon vote back in January. We reported back in January this was one of the components of whatever deal he cut, that he would take a hard line on the debt ceiling, which has been a sticking point for a number of Republicans. There have been members of the House Freedom Caucus, the more conservative faction of Republicans in the House, who've never before voted to raise the debt ceiling. And in this context, they did, with this Republican-passed bill that takes a meat cleaver to a lot of programs and a lot of spending. They said, with this type of deal, we can raise the debt ceiling. So this has been an argument from the far-right Freedom Caucus for many years, and with a Speaker McCarthy, they're able to actually have it out and have that fight.
Is there a corollary for President Biden? He started out the year saying, well, this isn't a negotiable item. Let's extend it, and then we'll see at the budget table later in the spring. What made him say, well, now we're going to have to negotiate? And it sounds like he's all in terms of actual negotiations.
Now, the White House hasn't said as much, but when the Republicans in the House a few weeks back passed a debt ceiling increase, a particularly controversial one that is dead on arrival if it ever goes to the U.S. Senate, because it is a party line and rather controversial way to raise the debt ceiling, once they did that, they did amass and exert leverage, because they can say, we raised the debt ceiling, you're the ones who have to act now. And the Senate doesn't have 60 votes for anything right now to raise the debt ceilings. They are stalled, which gives the House more leverage and seems to have forced the president to a negotiating table. And what happens next is anybody's guess, and that's a dangerous thing to say with a debt ceiling breach less than 2 weeks away.
Well, there's been a lot of talk that this could cost McCarthy his job if he doesn't deliver. Is there any sentiment? Is that a strong sentiment in Washington?
Another one of the things Kevin McCarthy negotiated to become Speaker was the ability for any one member of the House at any time to challenge his speakership. There was some insulation against that over recent years, but now any one member can go to the floor and try to take the speakership from Kevin McCarthy. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it means there's always that risk of it happening, and any bad outcome politically for him on this negotiation could trigger that type of vote. But at this point, his hardline Freedom Caucus members, the ones who withheld their votes at first from Kevin McCarthy, are just loving what he's doing on this debt ceiling negotiation, and they may be satisfied with the deal before other members of the Republican Party are.
Have you heard if there are any other go-arounds that would work, either that 14th Amendment or something else that might work? Are you hearing, Janet Yellen says that won't work, but are you hearing from somebody who's even more in the know, I guess, if that's possible?
Pardon me for the simple analogy here, but it's one of those things where nothing looks pretty or handsome just yet, but wait till after June 1st and everybody's is a supermodel. Every option out of this catastrophe looks fantastic after June 1st. I think everybody who is minimizing the alternative plans here may have a reckoning. If the stock market starts tanking, if the bond rating gets lowered, if your 401k takes a punch to the stomach several times, a lot of these alternative plans will look better. But there is a simpler short-term fix, which is to pass a stopgap measure, to buy negotiators another month or two. Because it does seem like there's some productive talks going on. I mean, they're on a trajectory towards something, which should give everybody cover to pause the debt ceiling, just delay it a little bit to let these things come to fruition. To get this done by June 1st is negotiating massive things on a speed track. I mean, you've got an Olympic speed track. So I don't know if it's reasonable to do this by June 1st.
Well, Scott, if there is some kind of movement here, there's an old expression, you know, putting lipstick on a pig doesn't make the pig any more beautiful. But if they do come up with some kind of a stopgap, would it include an increase in the debt limit or just an extension of the time necessary to negotiate one and you continue paying the bills as they come in now?
There is that way of trying to extend the time frame. Say, hey, we're only going to pay the most important or the most pressing bills, and we'll push back the ones we don't need to pay immediately. There aren't a lot of advocates for that inside the Treasury Department who believe they've already taken those extraordinary measures to get us to June 1st. Technically, we breached earlier this year. We reached the debt ceiling, I should say, earlier this year. That they've been taking those extraordinary bill maneuvering measures just to get us to June. So I think they would argue that they're out of ammunition to utilize to buy any more time in any other way. I think they'd need a congressionally passed short-term or low-level extension or raising of the debt ceiling to buy these negotiators more time.
Got to ask you this. Who's doing the paperwork on this?
Well, the Treasury Department does it, and that's one of the reasons we have a Treasury Department. They are having their work checked by nonpartisan groups, the Bipartisan Policy Center, the BPC, which is just that, bipartisan and to a degree nonpartisan, just put out a report at 5 a.m. saying, yeah, it looks like June 2nd to June 15th is the window we estimate for the debt ceiling breach, which is not far off what the Treasury Department is saying. There seems to be some authenticity to what this estimate is.
From your observation about either this topic or previous negotiations, how does a negotiation go? Do they lay out things? Are they using some big whiteboard or, you know, the computers to try to work through this? What's happening in that room?
What they did, I think it was impactful and important here, was they put people with relationships, previous professional relationships in the room. The Biden administration's negotiators have deep roots on Capitol Hill and have worked in the past with these Republican members who have been designated by Speaker McCarthy as the negotiators. So if you have a level of implicit trust, you pretty much can use anything from a whiteboard to a pen and pad to an etch-a-sketch to put together some notes and some ideas with the trust that it won't leak out or that the conversations won't be counterproductive.
I like that.
As a positive sign.
Yeah, I like the Etch-a-Sketch, too. that conjures up a very interesting image.
Right, more of a daycare than a White House negotiating room. Thank you so much, Scott. We always appreciate your insights behind the scenes up there and what's really going on in there. Thank you so much, sir.
Yes, thanks, Scott.
Anytime, gentlemen.
Take care.
Thank you. Scott McFarland, a CBS News congressional correspondent monitoring this. He's reported that some of the able-bodied individuals who receive food stamps, TANF funding, unspent money from COVID, and reforming the energy permitting process. That would probably be a lengthy negotiation, I would think, on the table. But he's the one that reported that both sides went in. We don't know what it was, but they both went in with something that they absolutely positively had to walk away with. And so the Republicans chose that to be the welfare benefits for able-bodied individuals, cutting into that, food stamps in particular. So we'll see which of these emerge. All right, well, we would love your opinion on these and other topics. We're going to launch into open phones now. We'd love to hear from you. You're listening to On the Mark, WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Joe's here, good conservative. Mark Lawrence here, very bad Democrat. And Lynn Hull's our objective phone answer, so she can take your call now. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out more about them at sunburymotors.com. Call us now if you want to talk about the debt ceiling. We have a half a dozen emails left over from our conversation on Monday, so we'll try to sift through as many of those as possible.
And plus, a half a dozen hot topics that we haven't discussed
right,
yet.
Right, some other good things we can discuss all relate to the our society slowly becoming more progressive, and so we can talk about that. Our toll-free number now, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could chop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back. You're listening to On the Mark on WKOK Radio. Our phone number is 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236, but be sure to put OTM in there.
Yeah, and Joe even knows how to check the text.
I do.
You can teach an old dog new tricks. You just got to go very slow and repeatedly.
Listen,
go over it.
I'm appalled today. Okay. Do you realize that?
You have appellation? What's the problem?
This is a story, and it really it just points out what's wrong with our educational system at the highest levels today. A professor at a New York public college shouted down pro-life students before snagging and throwing items in their display, accusing the students of spreading propaganda and triggering other students. Oh, my heavens, a display.
Yeah, you don't like being triggered.
A display
you don't like
triggering. Supporting pro-life is triggering all these poor students. Hunter College students were manning a table displaying pro-life literature when they were confronted by an angry professor who shouted profanities at the students before tossing materials off the table. There's a video of this, and it shows it quite clearly. Mm. She says, "You're not educating fecal matter. This is effing propaganda," the professor tells the students in a clip posted on Twitter by Students for Life of America. "What you're doing is, or what are you going to be doing next, anti-trans?" The aggressor in the situation was clearly the art professor, Shelny Rodriguez, who a Hunter College spokesperson confirms works at the school as an assistant professor. According to the spokesman, the school is aware of the encounter and is taking the matter very seriously. The provost has opened an investigation into the professor's actions. On her website, Rodriguez says she is a writer and community organizer who focuses her work on, and this is an art teacher, she focuses her work on strategies of survival against erasure and subjugation. And yet she was trying to erase and subjugate people who disagreed with her. Amazing. In the viral video of the confrontation with the students, two unidentified individuals appear to try to de-escalate the situation, apologizing to Rodriguez while noting they are just attempting to educate people on the issue. "This is bull excrement," she said. "This is violent. You're triggering my students." Oh, it's awful. One person said, "I'm sorry about that," the pro-life people said. Then she said, "No, you're not, because you can't even have an effing baby, so you don't even know what that is. Get this S off the effing table."
Jeez.
The professor fires back
this
before
college-level cursing.
Yeah, this is. Before attempting to push the items off the table. table and then blank this excrement.
So much more articulate than more lay people cursing.
And it's interesting. A group at Hunter College tried to support her. The PSC Graduate Center said the group argued that Students for Life set up a table and prominent banners to propagate dangerous false propaganda, claiming such materials are disinformation and should never be allowed to take root at our college. Heaven forbid an
idea we don't
like.
What did the specific material say that was...
It was pro-life material.
Right, but specifically, what did it say?
I don't know. They
Some people don't like that pictures of the unborn fetus that they show sometimes.
The kid said the material was related to the dangers of chemical abortion and what it can do to the mother long term.
Gotcha. Yeah, maybe they had some grotesque images or something. But regardless, this is it. I mean, we're losing it. We're enjoying ourselves so far on these two divides, Republican versus Democrat or liberal versus conservative, that some of us are just going off the deep end. Wasn't that guy trying to get President Biden that ran into the Lafayette Square last night? So, yeah. I mean, honestly, we're... We're losing it, Joe.
Our friend E.B.
And that's your professor is a perfect example.
Well, and then her actions, the Hunter College, group, I forget what the group is called. They're a group of professionals at the college, say her actions to shut down the tabling were fully justified and are a long part in celebrated CUNY legacy of confronting groups such as military recruiters who disseminate misleading information. Come on. Meanwhile...
Who's the decider of what's misleading and what's just one side of the story?
Well, the Hunter College provost and the dean of diversity and compliance have met with this teacher to counsel her, talk to her about it. And in the meantime, they released a statement saying Hunter College prides itself on maintaining decorum and respect for all while encouraging the free expression of ideas.
Yeah, the students are out of control.
Fail.
The students are out of control. No, it's the professor. Well, I think people are losing it, honestly. And I see people and talk to people who are adamant conservatives, and have the don't tread on me and the Confederate flag up and so on, and they're just getting more and more dug in. They're certainly hoping that President Trump gets reelected, so that's one of their goals. But if he doesn't, I think if push comes to shove, some of them are going to be violent, just like, we heard so many people violent at some of the protests that happened around the U.S. A small percentage overall, but certainly some people lost it. Some people go too far.
Well, when you consider that this professor's avowed goal is to work on strategies of survival against erasure and subjugation, and yet she's trying to erase other people's opinions and thoughts, which she doesn't like.
Right. Well, I think she kind of lost it. But I think it sounds like she's probably talking about maybe distant societies or somebody or cultures elsewhere. I mean, we know because of climate change, certain cultures are threatened in terms of their homestead and lands and so on and their previous lifestyles. So I'm thinking that's what might be part of that, but it's hard to say.
But isn't this terribly frightening that an institution that is supposed to be valuing diversity of thought and encouraging students to think and develop ideas...
And the university supporting the professor and not the students under these circumstances.
Well, part of the university is, and the other part has said that they are all for lively exchange of ideas, but they haven't yet said what they're going to do about the professor. And frankly, I think, how many times have you heard stories where somebody, a conservative, does something and they're being sent away for diversity training and re-education? Let's send her away for some kind of education about accepting other people's opinions that we disagree with.
Oh, that'll probably be part of her rehab. I'm sure she'll get in trouble. You're not supposed to do that kind of stuff at university. So I'm sure she's going to be in the doghouse, discipline-wise, unless sometimes fully tenured professors, you just can't touch them.
Well, she's not fully tenured.
Okay, then she'll probably be in the doghouse, academic doghouse, whatever that entails, and have to go through the diversity training and apologize and host a both sides now type conversation in one of her classrooms so she can kind of get the whole thing out in the air. But yeah, we're losing it and we're getting farther and farther apart. And I think President Biden and President Trump are doing the polling and I think we're going to be in trouble here. But, but if we recognize this, I think, pardon me, I think we could probably address it, make changes. I think social media seems to be the grease that keeps these, you know, ultra-polar machines going. So I don't want to inhibit free speech, but maybe if we could just make, you know, somehow force the statements to be true that are on social media or something. I don't know how you could do that.
To your point, there was a story this morning that social media is considered to be, it's a study, I think, out of England. I may be wrong in that. I heard it on the news this morning on CNN, that there's a study that shows that social media is harming our children far more than we ever thought it would.
Oh, our young people, teens,
young people,
and
yes,
yeah, adolescents. Yeah,
they
I agree.
They are, it's just being very harmful to them. And then you have somebody who should be a role model, a college professor. I wonder how she would have felt if there had been a display set up promoting a women's right to choose. And these conservatives, people who disagree with that, had gone over and wrecked that table. You know, would she? I bet she would have found that repulsive and offensive.
You hate free speech.
Yeah. I mean, right. We have got to. I mean, it's absolutely essential that we have to start allowing people to express their opinions. Instead of trying to shut them up and relegate them to the back bench because they disagree with us, we need to respectfully listen to what they have to say, and they need to respectfully listen to what we have to say.
We should just get rid of electricity, alcohol, and the internet, and then
Well, what about guns? We're going to throw them
down.
In there, too?
No, we need more guns. Mandatory carry, no internet, no electricity, and no alcohol.
Well, thank gosh you're not setting up a display at Hunter College.
We need to go back to the 1700s. Although women weren't treated fairly there. So we'll treat women fairly, but 1700 style. All right, you're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. Once again, looking for solutions. We'll have open phones during the 9 a.m. hour. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is across from me. Joe
right McGranahan, here, man. Right here.
Actual conservative. He's in charge of global tsunami response. No, volcanoes.
Volcanoes, yes.
I got to get going on that. I'm having so much trouble. You and the magma always mess me up. And
I'm very concerned about the magma.
He's also helping to judge the candidates who are running for the state Supreme Court, or Superior Court in Pennsylvania. And the woman he interviewed and gave high grades to was nominated on the Democratic ticket. So she will be on the ballot, Ms. Beck.
Jill Beck, outstanding candidate.
All right, fantastic. All right, vote for her, please, come this fall.
Well, vote for whoever you feel is best, but
no.
I just happen to tell you she is an outstanding candidate.
No, vote for her, period.
Okay.
End of story. Mic drop. Okay?
All right,
On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our phone number is 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can talk to us about Scott McFarland was on the news line a little bit earlier about the debt ceiling. We had an art professor who went on a meltdown at Hunter College in New York talking about a pro-life display that was there that she thought was misleading and triggering students. Maybe it had grotesque images. Maybe that would be the trigger for the students.
It was about the chemical end of it.
Right. Well, maybe it showed the grotesque images of the chemical abortion.
The video, if you look at the video, she wasn't looking at the material. She just saw what it was.
Right.
She didn't pick it up
topic.
And examine it and say what she questioned.
Okay.
She just threw it on the floor.
All right. So, yeah, the video is available out there if you want to see that. But we can talk about other things. Yesterday we had a good conversation about transgender individuals, and we also can talk about, there's a gun law now pending in Harrisburg. They want to legalize pot in Harrisburg and get up to $1 billion in revenue. That'd be quite a tax.
Yeah, on the transgender issue, we can talk about Bud Light and the fact that it's...
Oh, they're still in hot water. Yeah, I believe their stock is still plummeting, correct?
Now, their sales are off 24%.
Okay.
After being off 23% last month, they're off 24% so far this month.
All right. So somebody's going to be in hot water.
And they're buying back. Can you imagine among the great failed advertising campaigns in history, new Coke and now this?
Well, they claim they're positioning themselves for future Bud-like light drinkers, but they're going to have to do more than just have a transgender advocate advertise for them. They're going to need more than that to catch the new generation.
Well, if all they do is sell beer to transgenders, they're not going to have a very big market share.
Well, no, they want people. Most of the world is okay with individuals who are transgender. It's just that one-third of ultra-conservatives that...
Well, apparently it's a rather substantial part of their drinkers.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's the wrong demographic for them to lose. There's no argument about that. On the mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, check them out at sunburymotors.com. I want to talk in particular about some of the accoutrements of the Sunbury Motor Company. And they got the quick lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles. I know, Joe, specialization doesn't involve fixing everything.
That's true.
Stop saying it. State inspections, nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday morning, nice and early, 6:30 a.m. until 2 p.m. You can find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. You can check out their online specials there, or you can build a Ford, Hyundai, or Kia to your precise specifications. They sell Ford, Hyundai, and Kia, but they, as I mentioned, are a premier service provider. They got a paint shop, a body shop, big truck shop, little truck shop. You got Let's see. Joe likes the smaller SUVs with a V8 engine in them.
Right.
They're going to come out with a small SUV with a V10. Are you going to be happy driving that thing?
I am. Oh, man. Let me have it.
Yeah, all right. So Joe likes to go 90 miles an hour if he can. And then he hires a lawyer to get him out of hot water. But anyway, they got a large truck shop, parts department, alignment shop, a repair garage for everything. Sunbury Motors, sunburymotors.com is their website. All right. Let's hit the headlines, and we would invite you to call us, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Big new major news announcement right now. Evangelical Community Hospital releasing the information about the Miller Center getting a $2 million grant from the Degenstein Foundation for the Child Care Center they want to build up there. The $2 million grant goes along with a $1.6 million U.S. Department of Agriculture Community Facilities congressionally directed spending grant that was procured by Senator Casey that will cover construction costs of a child care center at the Miller Center. It'll include an expansion on the west side of the facility into that parking lot that's kind of a no man's land parking lot. Other operational details are still in development. For example, the Evangelical Community Hospital, Kendra Auker, the CEO, said, "Our workforce is nearly 80% women, if not more. Accessing affordable quality child care is the number one issue I hear when discussing the challenges facing young people." You can read more about this at WKOK.com. Of course, you know the Miller Center's confabulation of Geisinger Evangelical Community Hospital and the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Central Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce wants to make the best out of every second of the day for its members, so they're opening up satellite offices. They opened up one in Muncie.
With a worker shortage, those in charge are actually at the office, at the business, actually doing the work that they typically have someone else do so they can get out once in a while. So in order to maximize people's time, we had very much the pleasure of one of our members stepping up and saying, "Our office is your office."
T.J. Eike, President and CEO of the Chamber. You can read more about those satellite offices at WKOK.com. Authorities could temporarily seize firearms, and background checks would be expanded for gun buyers under two bills passed Monday in the State House. AP is reporting that the proposals are viewed as relatively moderate measures to cut down on gun trafficking, but conservatives say it's a step in the wrong direction, leading us closer to socialism and communism. One would expand background checks on firearm buyers in Pennsylvania. The other is a red flag law that's been debated for several weeks. In Harrisburg, two Republicans voted with the Democrats to pass the red flag law in the House, and one Democrat voted no on it. I don't know who the Democrat was who voted no, but we know it was that Bucks County duo that's always voting with Democrats that voted for the red flag law. It doesn't really matter anymore. anyway, it's all just, what do they call it, messaging bills. The state Senate's won't even take it up. A pair of state lawmakers say they'll introduce a bill to legalize and tax to the tune of $1 billion in revenue adult recreational marijuana in Pennsylvania.
Republican Senator Dan Laughlin and Democratic Senator Sharif Street say they'll propose the legislation, which would make 21 the minimum age for the recreational use of marijuana. Senator Laughlin says legalized adult use of marijuana is supported by an overwhelming majority of Pennsylvanians, and this legislation accomplishes that. Senator Street says legalizing the adult use of cannabis will help us fully and equitably fund education, lower property taxes, and address a variety of community needs throughout Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It's estimated legalization could generate $400 million to $1 billion in new tax revenue for the state.
And they'll spend
Mark
it on
Sims,
something
News
else.
Radio 1070 WKOK.
They'll spend it on something else, just like, remember when the argument was made about what was going to happen if we allowed casino-style gambling in Pennsylvania?
Joe,
lower our property taxes. It's going to fund education.
Didn't your property taxes plummet?
No.
Oh.
No, no. As a matter of fact, they're higher than ever.
But
they were going to take care of that if we just legalized casino-style gambling in Pennsylvania.
But, okay.
They're trying to make a butt out of us. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Finally, are you happy now? He's pro-life. He's Tea Party. He knew Truett Cathy, the late Truett Cathy from Chick-fil-A. He says there is no structural or systematic racism in the U.S., though he admits that he gets pulled over more frequently than his other Senate colleagues and was once nearly violently forced to show his ID in the halls of the Senate because he's an African-American. Very strong religious faith, has the most money of any presidential candidate in hand right now, $22 million. Of course, as you know, he's widely viewed as a disruptor, and he does not.
By whom is he widely viewed as a disruptor?
Tim Scott.
I don't think he's disruptive.
He's always questioning what Republicans are doing, including President Trump. He's got a mind of his own, which irritates the heck out of Republicans.
And irritates the heck out of Democrats, the fact that he's a black conservative. They just went nuts on The View yesterday.
Yeah, the Uncle Tom thing came up. You said it would, and it did. Tell me about that.
They were now associating him with Clarence Thomas, that has the Clarence Thomas syndrome. Whoopi Goldberg was on top of that yesterday. Let's see here. Scott is the first black senator elected in the South since Reconstruction, but on the left-leaning talk show The View, Whoopi Goldberg suggested Scott has Clarence Thomas syndrome. Thomas, a conservative U.S. Supreme Court justice from neighboring Georgia, has long been attacked by the left for not towing the line for what they believe is the proper jurisprudence line based on his skin color.
Oh, because he's black, he's the same as Clarence Thomas.
Thomas, right.
Okay.
These black conservatives, boy, they're awful.
Joe, we're losing it. It's 100% plainly clear now. All right, 570-743-9565. Stan dialed up first today, so you get to go on the radio. Go right ahead.
Good morning. You had the guy on there from CBS talking about the debt ceiling and raising that. Now, you mentioned, Mark, there's something about why can't the president use the 14th Amendment?
Yes. Yep.
That's being talked about.
Have you read the 14th Amendment?
No. I know your analysis of that. It can't be used, and Janet Yellen agrees. Some Democrats...
Well, it's right in the amendment, Section 5. Read it. Only the Congress has the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. Only the Congress. President has no jurisdiction or authority under the 14th Amendment to do anything.
Gotcha. Okay.
Except enforce what the Congress makes in law if he signs it. But if we default because of Biden, it will be 100% on Biden. The Republicans in the House have passed a bill, sent it to the Senate. The Senate hasn't done it, so that's on Schumer. And Biden has said it's DOA. Well, I'm sorry. The Republicans in the House did their job. Now it's time for the Democrats in the Senate to step up and do theirs.
Right, but that's not Biden's fault.
Now, then it can work out the differences.
Okay. That's not Biden's fault that the Senate Democrats won't take it up. I mean, if it defaults, it's not Biden's fault. He never got a bill to sign. He just signs bills. He can yak all he wants.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
You think Schumer and Biden aren't working together?
Well, they
come
may be.
On, Mark.
I'm just saying it doesn't. Bills that involve spending come from Congress, not from the White House.
No, you're right. They start in the House, and that's what happened. The House Republicans did their job. Now, no Democrats signed on to it because they just won an election, you know, issue. That's all they're looking at. And, you know, to blame the Republicans for everything. But the Republicans did their job. They passed a debt ceiling increase. They did. It's part of their bill that they passed.
Right.
They also said that they want cuts, plain and simple,
with some
which
onerous,
is what needs to happen.
Some onerous cuts deep into the budget.
Onerous?
Come on.
All right. Look.
I think 1%. I think they're talking 1%.
Well, yeah, 1% of
they can't afford
dollars.
A penny on the dollar?
We, you know, Stan, we are not men. This is crazy. There's absolutely nothing wrong with what Republicans are doing in the House, coming up with some common sense cuts that would make us spend less money. It makes perfect sense. It's what's called budgeting. You and I do it all the time at our households, but they can't seem to get it in Washington.
I understand. So but that's off the table. But as I said, the president has no authority under the 14th Amendment, plain and simple. Only Congress does. Now, you talked about that professor at Hunter College.
Right.
Okay. She was 100% triggered by anything pro-life. Okay. And what was her studies or what was she teaching?
Art.
You mentioned.
Art.
But
she was also advocating for what was the other thing?
Yeah, she
something
wanted to stop
marginalized or something.
No,
or
not exactly that word. Wait a second, here do I find it? She describes her work as strategies of survival against erasure and subjugation.
Ah, okay. So the erasure of people. And quite frankly, I agree. You shouldn't erase anybody. But her being pro-abortion erases a whole lot of people.
Yeah, right. It does, doesn't it?
So, you know, she really needs to look at that. But, you know, that's all. She just went off the deep end, and, you know, she was triggered, and because, you know, people can't have different opinions when it comes to the left. But now, I also heard that the state wants to legalize marijuana, recreational use of pot, right?
Right.
Okay. You know what that's all about, don't you?
Tell me.
Do tell. Do tell.
It's a backdoor means to gun control. Because if you're smoking pot recreationally or even medical, you cannot purchase a firearm legally.
What?
Well, I knew the medical you couldn't. But so you can't smoke legalized pot and have a gun?
No.
Oh, that's not
good. Federal law says so. You can't. It's right on the form. Are you a habitual user of a controlled substance? Now, the state may legalize it, but the feds haven't. So the feds preempt the state on the purchasing firearms.
Well,
correct?
Yeah, but no, let's face it. This is up in the air anyhow because it's still marijuana is still a controlled substance on the federal level, and yet states are allowing people to use it all the time.
Right.
Well, that's my point, Joe.
Yeah, but your point is that
when you go to a gun shop to purchase a firearm, you are filling out a federal form.
Right.
Lie on that form. Get caught lying on that form. I think it's a minimum of 5 years and up to $100,000 fine.
Do they ask you if you're? Do they ask you if you use marijuana?
Let me find.
No, I think you have to be addicted.
Are you? Let's see. Have you ever been convicted of court, martial law? Look at the form right here. Are you an unlawful user or addicted to marijuana or any depressant, stimulant, narcotic drug, or any other controlled substance?
Then you would not be lying if you said no, because in your state it's not illegal.
No.
The wording
law.
You
You're
read.
Filling out a federal form.
No. The wording you read says, "Are you illegally using drugs?" You would not be illegally using them if it's permitted in the state in which you live.
No. Because the federal law preempts the state when it comes to controlled substance. Federal law says you can't.
It's not asking.
Now,
Stanley, it's not saying under federal law, do you do this or do that? It's saying
the federal form.
But it's asking you if what you're doing is illegal. And if it's not illegal in Pennsylvania, they don't ask you to define federal. They said state.
Joe, you're in the wrong here. This is the great irony of marijuana.
Oh, you guys are trying to make it.
No, it's federal form. You fill out a federal form and lie on it. It's thing. You cannot use a medical marijuana card, even though it's issued by a state, and purchase a firearm. The feds have already come down and said that.
Yeah, that's clear. Who knows what the recreational
pot would be. So if you're smoking it because they legalized it for recreational use, you're still violating federal law.
Using it at all, you're violating federal law, Stan.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
but that doesn't mean that
that's a back way to right. gun control.
Nah, don't
Come
buy
on,
it.
Stan.
We got to hit the
don't
road.
Don't buy it.
We
got to
hit the road. Thank you, Stan.
Thanks,
Great
Stan.
Points all. Much appreciated, sir.
All
Thank
right,
you.
Have a good one.
Don't buy it, though. He's right. That'll be gun control. No gun control, no legal pot. We don't need pot anyway. Can't we just...
Well, man.
Can't we just drink booze and leave it at that?
Yeah, why? Well, let's all get stoned on booze instead. That's legal.
Don't drive, though. 570-743-9565. We'll be right back.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Ugh. Are we keeping you up?
Yes, you are.
Sorry. It's Joe's nap time. He takes a nap.
It's well beyond my nap time.
Every day at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Well, let's hear what EB has to say quickly, because we have a lot of these emails backed up and we have two calls, so we'll move through this fast. Overnight, a guy in a U-Haul van attempted to crash through security barriers at the White House. According to ABC News, police found a swastika flag in his truck. Authorities are saying the man had a desire to kill President Biden. Once again, we're seeing a domestic terrorist who's conservative. How many times have deranged right-wingers resorted to domestic terrorism in recent years? January 6th, most of the mass shootings. It just goes on and on. Clearly, the biggest threat to America facing America right now is the Republican Party and the people radicalized by its extreme rhetoric. Signed, EB. Now, I'm sure EB is just right there now sitting and typing an enraged email about this professor in New York, these crazy Democratic liberals who want to cut out free speech and stop people from having an opinion that differs from theirs. Okay. I can hardly wait to see that, EB. We're waiting.
All right, one of our listeners, Cindy, of course, always helps us out with follow-up information. And we did talk about what are the academics at that school where they're so ridiculously worried about whether somebody's wearing a dress or pants underneath their gown that goes down to your ankles anyway. She says, what's more ridiculous is that you won't be able to see what the clothes are under the gown. But then she goes on to say,
Gulf Park School District mathematics, 56% of students are on grade level in math. Geez. In reading, just 48% of pupils district-wide are reading on grade level, and an 87% graduation rate.
So the kids can't read or write, but I'll tell you what, you will not wear a dress to graduation.
87% graduation rate, that's not terrible. It's better than a lot of school districts in Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right. Well, they're doing super-duper on the graduation rate. They're just not teaching them anything.
Of course. Yeah, right. What do they learn when they get out the door?
Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey there. Well, you know, with regards to that pro-choicer that went crazy there, you know, at the display table.
Yep.
Well, this is something I've said many, many times, and it really fits here. And it says that when an individual's attempts at oral communication comprise guttural emanations of single-syllable, four-letter words, not only is the averred orator's command of the language called to question, but their evolutionary progression as well.
She's a cave woman. Damn it.
Yeah. That is really true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think there's a winery somewhere that's really missing the boat. You know, can make a bottle for the trans people. I think that would work, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm sorry, I don't get what you're saying. I must have missed a word. Say that whole sentence again.
There's a winery somewhere that's really missing the boat.
A winery.
Because they could go for, you know, the trans people that would really strike home, I think.
Gotcha. On the Bud Light topic. Yeah. Some of the folks in Bud Light said the campaign was aimed at making sure that they were well-positioned for the future market when conservatives aren't the big beer drinkers and that younger people are. And then they'll already be, you know, accepting enough and diverse enough so they won't have to gather them in. Trouble is, unless their sales turn around, they ain't going to make it to the future. They've already lost half their value.
No, they've lost 25% of their market share.
Each month.
So.
Right. So,
and now they're buying back. For the first time ever, Bud Light is going stale on the shelves because people aren't buying it, and Anheuser-Busch is going to buy it back, the ones that are past due. So maybe there'll be a fire sale. Maybe they'll put, you know, some other transgender person on a can of stale beer and try and sell it to somebody else.
Yeah, it could well be there. Why? Also, how are they going to expand the background checks on guns? What specifically are they doing?
Talk among yourselves for a second. Let's see. Expand background checks on firearm owners in Pennsylvania and an exception to the private sale of shotguns, sporting rifles, and semi-automatic rifles known as the gun show loophole, which is really a stupid name for it because it doesn't involve gun shows. It's anybody can sell a rifle to anybody anytime they wish. But anyway, let's see. Yeah, this is a longer version, but it doesn't say. But, you know, expanding background checks, universal background checks, everybody for every transaction or sale every time is sort of the rule of thumb. So there may be some carve-outs for family. We don't know that. But that has pretty broad support, 109 to 92 in the State House. So that's, you know, that's there's a lot of Republicans on board with that. None around here, though. But, yeah, so that would be, you know, making everybody. So when you buy a shotgun at a yard sale, you have to get a background check.
Yeah. Only 530 murders in Pennsylvania. 11 were with long guns.
Well, there'd be 11 people alive today if there were no long guns.
Well, you could
look at it that way.
And maybe they think some mass shooter is going to get his AR at a yard sale.
And there were 44 people were clubbed to death.
Well,
that was pretty amazing.
The club legislation's being drafted even as we speak.
Yeah. Right, and we should definitely ban clubbing people to death.
Yeah, remember that old Louisville slugger you pat at the yard sale, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you need a background check. All right, we got
nice
you, Lance. Thank you so much,
sir. Take care, buddy.
Thanks for calling in.
Have a good one.
570-743-9565. Bill, thanks for calling
in. Before we start with Bill, just as a,
hold on, Bill.
A golf note on the golf schools, 87% graduation rate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is for Harrisburg High School?
I'd say 69%.
49.9%.
Okay.
So there you go.
Go Mississippi.
All right.
Bill, you're on the mark.
Yeah, gentlemen, just the whole picture of everything that you talked about today. It's all evolving in the police state and fake narratives. Like the fake narratives like we'll pay for your education. That's just the tie-up narratives on talking points and with never no intentions known that it'll get defeated. Like like that'll never ever go through. They'll fight that up, and the Democrats know that, right? They know 100% that it'll never go through.
What'll never go through?
Attorneys in there that'll fight for it. It'll never go through, and it's just the talking point to get votes. For this police state, now you have to keep in mind the New York Post had an article where the IRS, they gave $80 billion for agency enforcement initially on the IRS, right? There's like 70,000 to 80,000 jobs, GS-9 jobs that were authorized, right? With a bachelor's degree, you go work for the IRS, and they have authorization to carry a firearm, right? They also, in 2022, this is the initial purchase, that's not 23, the IRS has bought $700,000 worth of ammunition, right? They want to come to where the IRS tells you what you get back, and you don't. You in the future, down the road, if they continue what they're doing, there will no be. You go file your tax return. You have till April 15th. They will tell you what you get back, and you're going to have to fight to get what belongs to you. this is the police state that is coming around, and this is just the initial purchases to get this thing up and running. They stay in office, it's gonna be horrendous down the road, and you could see it with the school boards calling parents domestic terrorists, right? That was pushed across the whole country, and it's real simple with what they're doing down the road. Is this narrative that they're pushing that they're coming after you and the guns?
Okay, but what is it that's never going to pass?
Thank you.
What do you mean?
You started out by saying it's never going to pass. What's never going to pass?
Oh, yeah. The Democrats, right? They're pushing
reparations.
Reparations, right?
Oh,
they say, oh, we're going to pay this, all these Democrat governors and whatnot, right? It'll never go through. They know it won't go through. That's just like I was telling everybody the student loan thing. Oh, vote for the Democrats because they're going to forgive your student loans. I said, you have a job, you'll never get it approved. They know it for a fact at the highest level. It'll never go through. They just want to steal votes. They don't care about nobody. They ain't no give back coming for that money. It's just trying to get votes, just like the open borders. I mean, what do you think these communities down long term down the road with all these kids coming, the school population is going to increase, they're going to have to build more schools. Look at Sweden when they opened their borders. They had to build more high schools, they had to build more schools. There was so much pressure on the communities and taxpayers that the country's gone terrible.
Hey, fair
right,
enough.
Gotcha.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Thank you for clearing that up, Bill. Appreciate it. We now understand where you were coming from. Yep. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, much appreciated. Yep. You got an open mic anytime. Thank you, sir. All right, we got to hit the button. We'll be right back, Harry. Hold on. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Harry, patiently waiting, or maybe he's impatiently waiting, but he waited.
Whatever he is, he's on the air now.
Good morning, Harry. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I find it interesting. The only person who got violent in this Hunter University, Hunter College thing with the professor, was the professor. Throwing things, swearing, and yet she accused the students who were tabling of being the ones inciting violence. So it sounds like she's the one who's unbalanced rather than there. And if she was truly an educator, rather than somebody who is basing their studies on non-existent, at least non-existent in our country, premises, couldn't she have used that as a teaching moment for her class if she had to get away from art and having an honest to God discussion about pro-life or pro-choice and doing that rather than going off and being just basically being an uneducated jerk? Would that have been an interesting...
That'd be a good lesson. Okay, students, here you go. Well, here we have a table with some brochures on it. Now, here's how you tip it over. I read this in the Bible. This is clearing out the temple. So it's the same thing. You can do it anywhere you want.
And then her phrasing was so artful. You're not educating excrement. Yeah. This is effing propaganda. You know, this is just what you expect to hear from a teacher.
Well, I know if I was the head of that college, I would look and say, look, one of my qualifications is I can swear like the sailors who were on a three-day shore leave from the Seventh Fleet. Yeah, that's who I wonder if there's any in my school. You know, I'm dead set against abortion, but sometimes I kind of lose my Christian thinking, and I think, boy, maybe there's some people that should have been. And
I think
I'm not proud of that, but,
yeah.
You know.
That's all right. You'll be in confession for 20 extra minutes this weekend.
I hope it's only 20. But I just think that we have, you look at that and you see that that's a person who's in charge of or instrumental in so-called education. which I say so-called because that even ties into what the thing was with that Gulfport school or whatever it was down in Mississippi.
Right.
Think about that. They have 56% reading at grade level. What was it? 60-some percent at, or 40-some percent at math, but they have 87% graduating. You can't read, you can't add 2 plus 2, but you can graduate. How does that happen?
Well, yeah, it's called low standards.
Well, the more concerned...
Well, you know, and that's what... Let's be honest about it. If this woman is an educator and is in college education on top of that, so-called higher education, you know, it pretty much shows what the status of education in this country really is.
But
I'm
more concerned about Harrisburg with a 49.9% graduation rate at Harrisburg High School. That's poor, very poor.
But I think that's a microcosm of what education is. Education is not about basics. It's about taking a test and indoctrination, not so much indoctrination, but what's the word I'm looking for, guys? English is one of the two foreign languages I speak, that and bad English. but philosophy, philosophies, not philosophy, rather than actually learning stuff that can help you get through life. And that's not good for anybody right now.
No argument there.
We have enough problems without creating others.
Well, I mean, education is certainly something that we value, I hope, in this country, and that we want to see young people get every possible advantage starting out in life. But then when you get to college and you're not taught how to think, you're taught what to think, because that's the mindset of the professors.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get a grade, I have a friend of mine, our neighbor, son of a neighbor, who went to a fairly major area college, and he was told he had to keep his opinions under wraps. He's a conservative because he would get bad grades if he said what he really thought.
Well, yeah, but that's so-called free speech anymore.
Well, and they also have a separate group.
Only free if you go along with that particular, and that's on both sides. Don't let anybody go off the rails on that either. It's, if you are talking to a conservative group, free speech is what they believe. If you're talking to a liberal group, free speech is what they believe. There is no such thing as free speech anymore.
I doubt a guy could walk across the stage at Liberty University in a dress and pick up a diploma.
But, I'm not talking that, yeah.
But and maybe at, Buck, maybe at Bucknell, what do you think?
Well, yeah, and I think if you're conservative...
It's a bizarre world anyhow. So.
Most young people aren't conservative. So that's why it's considered a bizarre anomaly. If you even have a special organization you join if you go to college and you're conservative. They call it the College Conservatives.
Isn't it a much better world when you can hear somebody rather than just listen to them? Isn't it, or listen to them rather than just hear them? I mean, when you can actually listen and learn, I don't have to agree with everything you believe, or you don't have to agree, but vice versa. But if we, you know, how many times have you learned something from somebody just by actually listening to them?
Whatever.
That's a bizarre concept. What's wrong with you?
Whatever.
Well,
look to me, life.
I guess I'm just old and looking through the world through rose-colored glasses, but. But dialogue is long gone, and that's a shame because I have had some very spirited discussions with people that I have never nor ever will agree with on ideology, and yet we were still able to be friends because we could exchange the ideas.
Right.
And now it's just yell loudest and longest, and okay, I give up. It's you're right.
Or knock your table over.
That's not the way it is.
Or knock your table over and call you S and excrement. Yes. And,
sorry, we have to break up the young Republicans here.
No, it's the same thing with Senator Scott. He announces for president within 20 minutes. The people on The View are calling him an Uncle Tom virtually. So
because it doesn't fit their
expectations.
I pay very little attention to other than if I hear somebody else talking about it. I mean, the one thing that I do find amazing with The View is I did not know that brain dead people could function as long and as loud and as as visibly as they can.
And be, gosh.
And be paid as well for it.
Yeah, I think that's a human condition.
Yeah.
We have a lot of old senators. It's time for them to move on. You listening, Senator Casey?
How about Dianne Feinstein?
Yeah. Well, yeah, among others. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling
Thanks.
In, Harry.
Thanks, Harry.
Much appreciated.
Have a good day.
All right,
take care.
We're going to hit the button in a minute, but read the texts, and
all
then we'll hit the button.
The Democrats' push for universal background checks will never work without a registry. That is their goal. Registration leads to confiscation.
And then communism and socialism. And
we're all down the flusher.
And what else? Yeah, that's right.
And how many criminals will get background checks on the gun they buy out of the trunk of a car?
Zero.
And rumor is there's a $20 rebate being offered by Bud Light by Anheuser-Busch. I heard that.
Wow.
Which, in effect, is a
$20
case of beer.
On a case of beer.
They're practically giving it away. Maybe they are. And then, oh my EB, when BLM and Antifa tried to attack the White House in 2020 to kill Trump, bet you were cheering them on.
Well, yeah, we're losing it. That's what's happening. All right, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and do as our good listeners just that there. Text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Yeah, different shirt, different tie. Yeah, Senator Fetterman, we'll talk about this tomorrow, but apparently he's back in his shorts and Carhartt. So.
Right. One of our emailers says, gentlemen, Republican voter here. This is my voting opinion as of today, and this was from yesterday. We voted for Trump in the last two elections, but now number one is Tim Scott, number two, Ron DeSantis, number three, Donald Trump, number four, can't think of his name, but the man, his background was from India. That's Vitek, yeah. As for the other ones that are running, Nikki, Christie, Pence, Asa, please drop out. You won't win. Thank you again for allowing any opinion on WKOK or my opinion on WKOK.
We'll allow any opinion.
Right, we will.
Doesn't have to be right.
But we might,
for example,
we might knock your table over if we don't like what you're saying.
And we'll curse.
And curse at you.
But the mics will be on.
Doug says, so Mark, if an average student at high school says they identify as the valedictorian of their class and should get awards and scholarships, do you think they should be called the valedictorian? Sounds absurd, doesn't it? Yes. Just as absurd as saying we should identify someone as they wish, not what they actually are. I find it hard to believe that even many liberals think that this transgender movement is legit, but they are just afraid to speak out because they want to be viewed as inclusive and woke.
Oh, I think there's quite a few liberals who are questioning things that relate to not graduate. Graduations, wear an address to graduation if you were born a male, but you've transitioned to a male throughout your high school career. But other things, certainly the athletic things is very divisive. And
yes, true.
Only a minority of individuals.
Apparently beer drinking things, too,
are
divisive.
Fully supportive of total inclusion in athletics, women's and girls, or men's and women's athletics. So, yeah, I don't think it's all liberals. I think there's quite a bit of division in that. But it's a new topic. I think it's going to take a while for all of us to learn more about it. And as time goes on, maybe we'll know more.
Let's take his example. Suppose an average student does identify as the valedictorian. I believe I should receive honors and I should be the valedictorian.
Right.
What are they going to say? Well, no, you can't. You don't have the grades for that. You didn't achieve what is necessary. Isn't that the same argument?
Isn't there an... you didn't achieve womanhood, so you can't be transgender.
No, I mean, you haven't met the basic qualifications for what you say you want to be.
A woman. I gotcha. Well, I guess that's one way to look at it. But I think, honestly, if once you know more about transgender, you won't ask that kind of question. Eventually, you'll have to know more. Something will happen in your life. You'll meet somebody, or you'll actually talk to one in person, and you'll know.
Well, I don't have any problem with what they're doing. It's their life. They can live it as they see fit. I'm not going to tell them they can't, but don't make me buy into something I don't believe in. If you want me to respect you and honor you, what you want, then you need to do the same for me.
Gotcha.
And if the best we can do is to tolerate one another, isn't that better than open hostility?
Yeah, the goal is to get along so well, we just tolerate each other.
Well, you know what's wrong with tolerance? Isn't that saying, I may not agree with you, but I certainly respect your right to feel the way you do. Is that such a bad thing? Is that such a dirty word? Tolerance is now a dirty word.
It does have a negative connotation to it. Let's see. CBS
says
the U-Haul truck that crashed into security barriers around Lafayette Square across the street from the White House Monday. The Secret Service, the driver of the truck was arrested. He had a Nazi flag with him. The Park Service identified him as an individual from Cy Versith Kandula, age 19, of Missouri.
What's his name?
S-A-I, Cy Versith, V-A-R-S-H-I-T-H. And then Kandula, K-A-N-D-U-L-A, of Chesterfield,
Missouri.
Certainly
doesn't sound like a good old redneck to me, does he?
Okay. Well, who said he was a redneck?
Well, E.B.
Oh, okay. they just said that he was after Biden.
Well, I mean, does that mean
have to
be...
That's not in the CBS version he wanted to kill Biden.
You know, EB's premise is that somebody with a Nazi flag must be a Republican.
Well, there was a report today either. I think it was on CBS that he was that he wanted to kill Biden. That seems...
Or the vice president or a member of their families.
Oh,
it wasn't specific about who he wanted to kill.
Just any Republican.
Any Democrat, apparently, who was in the White House living near the White House.
All right. On the topic of transgender prisoners, one of our listener says, Mark, in fact,
it happened in New Jersey. Demi Minor is serving 30 years for murder. He was transferred from the female prison. Okay, so that means he identified as a female, was originally put in the female prison, and moved back to the male prison.
Okay. Yeah, well, this has popped up all over the U.S. that you have this prisoners that transition in prison.
It creates a lot of different issues.
Right. It's a pickle.
Well, to you, it is. To me, it's straightforward. You are what you are, right. Remember what Popeye said?
But you just won't let people be what they want to be.
Yes, I will. Popeye said, I am what I am.
He had the solution.
Popeye did, and eat your spinach.
You get this email.
All right. Dennis says, let me say I don't believe in any discrimination or bullying. Our society has always been basing our laws and morals on the Judeo-Christian principles, all for the common good, yet 0.001% of our population are attempting to change the common good to fit their agenda. It seems to be a lopsided approach for the common good. So, you know, in this country, what is it they always say, that the minority has its say, the majority has its way?
Okay.
You know, you find some fault with that. We are a republic, and that is the essence of what a republic is.
Well, but at the same time, in the U.S., we've always thought minorities were very important. I mean, blacks are still a minority, but we still try to make sure that they have equal footing and equal voice and equal opportunities.
And what percentage are they?
And women.
They're into the teens, 20s,
women
20%.
Have always been in the majority, but have never had exactly the same footing and rights and opportunities.
Well, they do
men.
Now legally. Whether or not they still are getting
but
them is
more
another
of them.
Issue.
So there's a case where the majority was marginalized.
Okay, but what about 0.0001% of the population?
Oh, people who are transgender. Well, I don't think they're making anybody else become transgender. They're just trying to live their lives.
That's not the point.
They're trying to live their lives.
No, they're trying to do more than live their lives. They're trying to make us conform to the way they want to live. We have to adopt our rules to their beliefs.
Well, because some of our rules are a little prohibitive. You can't wear a dress under a gown at graduation if you've been a girl all through high school. Come on, Joe.
Well, I agree that they made a mistake in not enforcing the law from the beginning.
Thank you. Right.
Hey, let's do this tomorrow. It was fun.
Why don't we? Why don't we enjoy open phones for 90 minutes tomorrow?
That'd be good.
Thanks to the Sunbury Motor Company, and Lynn Hall will be our producer. So we got it all going on. This is WKOK Sunbury.